Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
What a problem to have. Way too much going on in the outdoors and on the water. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We have October 19th and 20th. What a glorious day today is October 19th. Free freshwater fishing day. No license or trout stamp needed. I'm telling you, they switched the trout stocking schedule around for the fall because of the low water conditions up north. Who knows what's going to happen next week up north. Anyway, in South Jersey, man, they dose it pretty heavily. Again, you don't need a license and a trout stamp. Get out there and experience. Bring a youngster with you, kids, whatever. Just go out there and experience. These are two-year-old rainbows averaging 14 to 16 inches. And you have some breeders in every other water loaded up there, probably anywhere from 4 to 6 pounds. GM Petro Park Pond got hit with 180. Hamilton Lake, 230. Mary Elmer Lake, 210. The Morris River, 180. Crystal Lake, 230. Grenlock Lake, 180. Oak Pond, right there behind the Southern Region Fish and Wildlife Office, with 180. That was Tuesday. And Wednesday, Greenwich Lake was dosed with 190. Iona, my Iona, 220. And Shadler's Sandwash Pond, 160. And 220 went into Swedesboro Lake. And to the guys saw at the tackle shop buying a pint of minis of Achilles. Going to Swedesboro, Tom P, because I know there's a lot of trout in there. Good luck. I hope you scored well. I haven't heard back from him, so he's probably still mailing. Hey, just a reminder, too. Antlered buck permits for permit bow season must be purchased by 11:59 p.m. October 26th. Antlered buck permits for permit muzzleloader season must be purchased by December 2nd. And antlered buck permits for the permit shotgun season must be purchased by December 18th. Again, the times are 11:59. Go online. Can't get to a license issuing agent. Bear season's wrapping up today. Segment B will be in December in conjunction with Buck Week. Just a reminder, too, training those bird dogs, man. Chuckers were released in Assunpink, Colliers Mills, Manasquan, Stafford Forge, Glassboro, Millville, and Tuckahoe last night. For today, up north is Black River, Clinton, Pequest, and Whittingham. And they're also going to be released the 25th for the 26th. Same wildlife managers. Last chance to get some dog training on those chuckers. They really don't last too long. The red-tailed hawks, man, and the foxes just really know. Hey, man, I have a really jammed show coming up. As promised last week, Jimmy Sloan, Fish and DEP's Fish and Wildlife's Upland Game Bird Project Leader, is going to be talking prospectus for the upcoming fall turkey season. It was at Bobby Urich talking bass fishing, and John Erndl, UBNJ. Hunters Helping the Hungry have a big event going on this weekend. It's late notice on that, and we're going to get into that. Hopefully, it'll extend until Tuesday. Most likely, Monday will be it. So grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Be right back, Rack and Fin Red. So much. Oh, did I mention the stripers are on their way? Guy told me the other day he's fishing. I'm not going to mention the inlet. Tom P., I'm catching fluke up to 23, 24. Yeah, they're still there. This whole flounder thing is just really crazy. Stripers around, some bluefish are around, plenty of tog along. Oh, okay. Man, we're jammed. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Oh, sea bass? Did I mention sea? Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Only 1 in 5 people with autism are employed, despite many having the skill set and desire to work.
Maybe it's because employers don't know what kind of jobs they can do. Like, what about a programmer?
That's a job for someone with autism.
How about a healthcare worker?
Yep, that is too. People with autism can do a lot of different jobs, but often get overlooked due to outdated stigmas. Introducing WIN by Autism Speaks. We help businesses lead the way in inclusive hiring.
What about a ranch hand?
To learn more, go to autismspeaks.org/win.
There's deer up ahead.
Okay, I'm slowing down. We're buckled up, and I know if we see one deer, there's probably more behind it.
What if it runs out on the road?
That's why I'm slowing down. I'll never swerve to avoid a deer. That could make me hit another car or a tree.
I heard that over 1 million vehicle deer crashes take place each year in the U.S. That's why everyone has to be vigilant for deer, even in areas they don't expect.
That's true. It's up to us, not the deer, to stay safe. This message from the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety, the New Jersey Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Within 15 seconds of logging onto social media, the algorithm has your daughter in its crosshairs, leading to the worst rates of eating disorders, self-harm, and suicide we have ever known, all while she's sitting right next to you on her phone. Congress knows, but it refuses to act. Use your voice. Demand a plan. Join us at the Center for Countering Digital Hate. ProtectingKidsOnline.org.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
I'm Naheem Hines, proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom has muscular dystrophy, and the MDA helps her and kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. And MDA funds over 150 care centers for kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and related neuromuscular diseases. Learn more at MDA.org today.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Glorious weekend of October 19th and 20th in the fabulous month of October, and everything is going on. Oh. And it just keeps, the bounty just keeps coming, man. Don't forget, October 26th, that's next Saturday, and October 28th through November 2nd, autumn, a.k.a. fall turkey season, is underway. Permits are still available. Now, remember, we had on Lugambale, National Wild Turkey Federation, last week with some autumn turkey hunting tactics. Really a whole similar but not. In getting a hen or a gobbler this time of year, not a tradition like it is in Pennsylvania, Ohio, states I have, but I just love it again in conjunction from when we're doing other things. You get your permit, you're squirrel hunting, whatever. It's just, and there's guys that do it hardcore all the time. Now, looking at last year's harvest figure, it came in at an even 75. The year before that, 2021 was the lowest harvest at 68. The highest was way back in 2001 with 258. And it's fluctuated in the 200s, 150s, 130s, what have you. So turkey numbers are, we're still coming in there at the estimated flock number of 20, and estimated between 21,000 and 23,000 birds statewide. Various factors influence their populations. As promised last week, I had probably four calls and a couple of texts and an email about it. Is your next guest going to be on next week? And here he is, Jimmy Sloan. Jimmy is a principal biologist with DEP, Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Wildlife Management. He is also the head of the Upland Game Bird Project. He was on a couple of weeks ago. We talked squirrels and bunnies, but now we're talking really in his bailiwick. Wild turkey and the prospectus for the autumn turkey season, which, not to be the bearer of bad news, may be, or might be, I should say, proper grammar, Tom. I get too excited. Might be the last one for a while. Jimmy, thanks for joining us. How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. This little cold front right here has got me jacked up.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm locked. Listen to me, man. I've been rubbing my head on parking meters all over the place. It is that time of year. Jimmy, now, I tell you, as I explained earlier in the week, nothing bad intended here. I said, maybe they're not looking in the right place. Four different birds in four different areas last week, and I saw up in North Jersey, scouting for bears and then doing some bass fishing and squirrel hunting and stuff. But you said a North Jersey population is in trouble. The rest of the state look pretty good?
Yeah, the rest of the state's pretty stable. We got some increases, especially in the Pinelands National Reserve.
Oh, nice.
Surprisingly enough, I mean, my technicians are up north with the research project, and they're texting me every day that they're seeing birds up north. So, I mean, this is a good sign.
The three hens and a gobbler weren't figments of my imagination.
I guess not, although we don't know what happens up top of you.
Okay. Well, Jimmy, listen, the prospectus for this season is going to, and then it's great you have the two Saturdays involved here. Autumn turkey hunting in New Jersey, as Gambale reiterated, has never really been that popular as far as participation-wise. Again, it's not a traditional turkey hunting time as it is in other states. We're a spring gobbler hunting state. Would you agree? I mean, that is the thrust.
Yeah, the fall season is really underutilized. I mean, 200 and some birds in 2001, and we started the hunt in 97, and it gained a little traction when it was new, and then, you know, just participation fell right off. That's why the council has proposed to close the fall season.
Well, Jimmy, I'm wondering, just so many distractions going, especially with the deer, and you have the bear there. That came on later, the bears. It's a lot of stuff going on where turkeys, and again, it gets into the mindset, that's a spring thing, man. That's late April through May. Turkeys, yeah, down. I wonder if that played into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just deer. Guys are prepping their dogs, getting ready for the bird season. Yep. There's just a lot of things going on. So I think most of it is just a bycatch of, fall deer hunters.
Jimmy, the prospectus north, again, is kind of, again, they're seeing birds up there. But for Rackvin listeners, especially the turkey hunters that do participate in the fall, central down through the southern tier counties, these turkey hunting areas, there's a lot of opportunity there. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a good, healthy flock of birds, I'd say, from 195 south that can be easily obtained here in the next week.
Well, Jim, there's the thing. The onus, again, thing is about the fall season. Well, again, this is where maybe the population things, we're worried about the dwindling number of birds in certain areas and in other states as well. The harvesting of hens. You knock down a hen, you're basically could be knocking out anywhere from 2, 3, 4, 5 turkeys for next year. Is that pretty much the premise?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way to put this is dead hens do not lay eggs. Simple as that. Kill hens.
That's vintage Sloan, man. I'm just putting it like that. Well, Jim, when the season was instituted back, what was it? Again, back in 97, was that taken into account? Or were the numbers, the birds, they were 23,000? No, not even. The statewide population was around 12,000, 13,000 estimated, correct?
Yeah. So they instituted this fall season in 97. All right, so that's 20 years after reintroduction took place. So reintroduction takes place in 1977. 26 birds, Bob Erickson, Joe Garris, they bring them in, and boom, we have a population. And by 97, we had a high enough population for a fall season in all suitable habitat. Now, flash forward, we're figuring out in 2020 or so that, hey, these birds can live almost anywhere. You know, our suburban areas are getting more and more birds, more and more birds. But our let's say, big forest, the populations are declining. And we're really not sure why. So, I mean, one of the greatest things with the Fish and Game Council is we can propose to close the season, open a season, and especially with the birds up north, I thought it was the right call.
Okay, Jim, and I asked this to Assistant DEP Fish and Wildlife Commissioner Dave Golden. Great guy. Cool boss to work for. I've known Dave for years. Here's the thing, though, and it goes over to fishing as well, especially on the saltwater side. Once something is taken away, what are the chances really of getting it back, of the opportunity returning? I mean, that's a legit argument, is it not?
Yeah. You never want to take something away without a plan on how to get it back. And this was asked by the Fish and Game Council and also by AC Golden. So me and, believe it or not, Bob Erickson, we had this discussion, and Bob still, I still give him a call every now and then when I'm stumped. But we were thinking something along the lines of gobbler harvest rate per square mile in the spring. When that reaches a certain level, then we can try to reinstitute the fall season, which is easy. It's very easy. It's just another proposal to the game council. We'll have the science to back up the decision, and 99% of the time they go with what the professionals said.
Okay, fair enough. We're speaking with Jimmy Sloan, a principal biologist with DEP's Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Wildlife Management. He's also head of the Upland Game Bird Project. Topic is, again, we don't have much time here, Jimmy, is the Autumn Turkey Hunting Prospectus. The season's going to open next Saturday and run the following week into the following Saturday, November 2nd. So, Jim, you're looking at pretty much a good season for what it is for the next week?
Yeah. We've had excellent poult production last year and this year. So, I mean, there's got to be a surplus of birds to take. Again, this may be the last fall season for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to encourage our hunters to take advantage of it.
Jim, the turkey hunting area is a 22, 21, a 14. Again, it seems to be birds everywhere down here. And the farther you go north, it's like you said, you're seeing more birds up there, but it's getting sand. Listen, your best opportunities are in the southern counties, the southern turkey hunting areas. And Jim, I'm seeing pretty good mast crops all over the place. What are you guys seeing out there?
Oh, it's raining acorns everywhere. I mean, I can't deer hunt without hitting a head or trying to roll an ankle. Jim, you know,
Jim, primary forage for the turkeys this year, this time of year, besides the mast, bugs and all that good stuff.
How about our deer hunters' corn piles? I mean, think about it. There's corn in every block of wood. And even guys now with the trail cameras out and this and that, I mean, they're just hammering bait piles. That's really what they're doing.
I'll tell you, it's a battle between the squirrels and the turkeys. But the deer just look, hey, man, we're not getting in there. You know, we don't want to shut it. Well, Jim, let me ask you one question before you go. I remember I posed this question years ago to Tony McBride. He used to be on the Turkey Project. Damnedest thing, you know, the turkeys, their eyesight is off the charts. They can see you crook your finger at 150 yards, all that BS. But now we're hunting an area. My cousin and I, we're hunting, and we're, you know, orange cap. We're squirrel hunting, orange cap, orange vest. Sitting against a tree, motionless, naturally. And we're, beep, 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 beep. Here comes a flock of birds. Jimmy Sloan, had to be 20 to 30. And they're coming. It's on a piece of public land, but there's an old abandoned household. There's some old washing machines. Stuff everywhere. Orange. Sloan, I'm no digger. Orange. They walked up, and there's an old blue tarp flapping around. They walked up, pecking, scratching. Walked right by us as if we weren't even there. What's up with that?
Sounds like you should have bought your permit.
I said to my cousin, man, did you see that? He says, I thought they would have, you know, spotted us right there. But I guess they get used to things, and like you said, in the suburbs, they get used to humanity, and they don't give a ruptured rat's hind quarter. Rather, they're going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's amazing. The more time you put in the woods, the more things you see, and it just makes you wonder what.
Jim, before I let you go, I'm Sandbagger Tom Pierre. Off the top of your head, Jimmy, the three best turkey hunting areas for a shot at a hen or a gobbler during the fall season. Go.
All right. Central region, I'm going to go with Prostertown Wildlife Management Area. And then I'm going straight to the south. I have to. I guess. BlackRock's got a pretty good population. So does Clinton. Whittingham's got a little bit of good one. But if I was going, I'd be at Buckshootum Wildlife Management Area.
Buckshootum is great, man. Hey, Jim, you know where else I've seen some birds? And again, Pinelands area, down in Winslow. That Winslow tract.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's birds down there. I mean, a lot of these WMAs, they hold birds. I mean, you find a good oak flat, it's easy to see sign this time of year.
I can't believe you busted my spot. 537 Ocean County, Prospertown tract. You're killing me, Sloan.
You asked the question.
You're just killing me. Well, Jimmy, thanks for coming on. Listen, Prospectus, get your turkey permit. Fall turkey permit, maybe the last time for a while the opportunity avails itself. Gobblers, legal. Hens are legal. We'll go into the hunting a half hour before sunrise, sunset. There's plenty, as Jimmy says, there's plenty of birds out there, central and southern tier counties, those turkey hunting areas. Get out there and enjoy. Jimmy, thanks so much. Hope to see you in the woods. Wait a second. Hold it. Got a note right here. Is he aware of more yellowfin moving into the Hudson? I just got a note under the door, man.
No, I have no idea.
Jimmy, you take care, brother. Be good.
All right, thanks. See ya.
Jimmy Sloan, big guy. Great hunter, great, and just so dedicated to the birds, the grouse, the quail, and the turkeys. They're in the downs of that, but I think we don't have time to, you know, get into the program. We'll have them on a little later on. In the fall, maybe early winter, the results is going to be a 3-year project. You know, they're tagging hens, you know, electronic trackers, whatever. So we shall see. But it may be the last time for a while for a fall turkey hunting experience in the Garden State. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week on October 19th and 20th. Hey, you're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and WPG 1450 AM. Streaming live in that slot, WPG1450.com. And 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked in a 50,000 mega far reaching watts at a Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM. Streaming live, 97.3ESPN.com. Go to WPG Talk Radio app or Apple, Spotify, or YouTube to get the Rack and Fin Radio podcast. Again, real quickly, back to the turkey season. Next, it's going to be the 26th, and then the following week to November 2nd. So you got two Saturdays in there, one turkey of either sex per permit. Only one turkey may be taken per day. Report harvest by 7 p.m., half hour before sunset to half hour after sunset. Correction on my part. And you can use decoys. As Luke Gambale said last week, he said, sometimes decoys work. And there's a guy that puts out a dozen or more. Hey, man, last chance, it looks like. All serious, last chance for a fall turkey hunt experience in New Jersey. And it's going to be for a while. Hey, anything longer than a year to me is for a while, especially at my age. Switching gears, man. Let's get to the bass, as in freshwater bass, South Jersey largemouths. Join us on a lot. We're in a transition time. I mean, it's been a couple of cold nights here, man. So South Jersey water is very shallow, except for Union Lake, you know, the deeper. It's like a transition time now. Bite can be tough. Join us on a lot right now. Former professional bass circuit, bass competitor, and owner, CEO of Mega Strike Fishing. They're based out of Fairfield, a longtime friend of Rack and Fin Ready, Bobby Urig. Now, his bait company, he has spinner baits. The Strike Back spinner bait is a killer. He has shaky heads, evolution jigs, the full lineup of plastic baits, fat shads, mega bugs, grubs, mega sticks, lizards, and a killer. I don't mean it like that, but, you know, killer lineup of freshwater fish attractants. Bobby's based out of Frio, man, fishes all over. Good friend of Roland Martin. I said, Roland, man. Nobody eats nachos like you, except maybe me. We had a contact at the classic years and years ago. Roly kicked my ass, man. He is good. We're going to talk transition bass, especially in South Jersey, Central Jersey, the shallower waters. Bobby Urich, thanks for making some time, man. How you doing, brother?
I am good. How's everybody doing out there? And thank you for having me on the show.
Always a pleasure, Bobby. Listen, he did take a little bit of a break. I'm going to hit you on this one, Urich. A little bit of a break to chase striped bass the other night. How'd you do, Yurik?
We got five last night. They're not set up yet. The bunker's starting to come in. Water's starting to cool down. You know, we are getting those cool nights. You know, daytime, it's still, you know, in the 70s out there, you know, around here. You know, we're up around the Atlantic Highlands there, Raritan Bay. But what's going to happen is once that water cools down, starts hitting those magic numbers, you know, in the 50s, they're just going to come in from up north, you know, all around Rhode Island and Cape Cod and everything. They're going to come down. They're going to follow that bait down the bunker. They're going to start heading, you know, their southern migration. And let me tell you, the striped bass fishing is incredible. You think about this, bud?
I just had a contact with an acquaintance. Listen, I don't have friends. I have enemies and acquaintance. Up there in Musquamaket in Rhode Island, Tommy P, man, the bass. With that accent, that drives me crazy. Well, Bob, again, let's get to these chilly nights. I don't know if you want to call it a turnover, what, the Central and South Jersey waters. Bass in transition right now. Now, your vast experience, you fish for bass all over the friggin' country, and I can't imagine where. Jersey fishing, unique in of itself, especially in the southern tier counties, Bob, with the weeds, the shallow water. Like one of our best bass lakes, Parvin Lake, I think the max depth is 6, 6.5 feet. And yet you get 5, 6 pound bass out there on a regular basis. What are the bass doing now? Are they keying in on deeper areas and coming up to the shallows after bait? What's the dealio?
Well, they're going out of their summer transition. The water is still pretty warm. You know, I don't know if it's global warming or whatever, but what happens is during the fall, well, let's go into summer first. The water's warm. The cooler water stays below the thermal cline. Okay, the thermal cline is where water starts to stratify, almost like oil and water. So once that water starts to warm up, okay, it starts to rise. That's the summertime. Cooler water stays down low. And what you can do is you can sit there and those fish want to stay right at that line there where that water starts to transition into that cooler water. Mm-hmm. There's really not a lot of oxygen below that thermocline right there. So they like to stay on that thermocline around the lake. But what happens in the fall, it happens in spring, happens in the fall, is a turnover. What happens is the air starts to cool. So the surface temperature starts to cool of the water. That starts to sink. As it starts to sink, the water that was cooler in the summer is actually warmer than the water that is cooling down. So the warmer water starts to rise, and the cooler water that's happening now is starting to sink. And that what happens is it really messes up the fish. There's a lot of plankton particles in the water, and they start to get all kinds of crazy. It starts to mix, especially with a lot of wind. We're starting to get a lot of wind in the last couple of days. It's almost like a soupy mix there. Mm-hmm. Also, when you were mentioning about the weeds are starting to die off. The lily pads are starting to die off. So what that's doing is it's breaking up all the vegetation. So it takes maybe a week for everything to settle down. And what happens when that remember this, everybody out there. When the weeds start to break down, okay, the first thing the bass start looking to do is go to the next hard structure, meaning rocks, boulders, stumps, trees, anything like that.
Laydowns,
et cetera. So what you want to do is not target the weeds anymore. What happens actually is that dying weed depletes the oxygen in the water. Okay, nice green weeds. What happens with that is the nice dark green weeds during the spring and summer, they produce oxygen, a lot of oxygen through photosynthesis, that big word we learned in sixth grade, the production of oxygen through light penetration from the sun. So when that starts to die, stay away from any dead brown weeds because it's depleting the oxygen in the water. Once that system starts to settle down, the bass are going to move shallow. They're going to start their fall transition and head into their winter modes. Now, we're already into the middle of October, so water's cooling down. Water's still pretty warm, though, right now. But what happens now is the bass are moving shallow. They're looking to put on those feed bags. And what's going to happen is they're going to start chewing. And when they start chewing, they're going to start moving around and looking for food so that they can replenish their fat reserves for the wintertime. So what I find is move around a lot. Find the bass. Find where they are. Usually where you can find one bass, okay, you're going to find more bass. They're going to start chasing bait fish. Mm-hmm. And even more than like the crawfish type baits, like a jig, that's when it gets, you're going to start using cold water baits like jigs. That's when it gets really cold. And what happens there is that's a slow bait. But right now they're chasing bait fish. They're going to follow them all around the lakes and ponds. So great baits for that, spinner baits. You want to use a search bait so that you can cover a lot of water rapidly, quickly, find the fish. My number one bait that I will use this time of year is a Cavatron buzzbait.
A buzzbait this time of year?
Absolutely. I went out the other day. I was up in New York State. Water was 61 degrees out there. Still up there, which is up around Liberty, Monticello.
Uh-huh.
Water was still pretty warm. We went out and smashed them on a buzzbait. And the fish were shallow. They were in 3 foot of water, maybe four max. They were all around the shorelines. And what they're doing is they were in the wind-blown areas of the lake. They were not in the calm areas, like where the wind wasn't blowing. The wind was blowing the plankton, okay, into one area of the lake, into the coves. And the bait fish are in there eating there that plankton. So what happens is we went in one area. We didn't get bit for almost 2 hours, okay? And God's honest truth, almost 2 hours, we went out a bite. I said to my buddy, I said, let's go hit the other side of the lake. We went down to the other side of the lake, absolutely smashed them. I mean, crushed them. My biggest fish that day was 5'7", numerous fours. And one of the things is, nothing is more fun. You know, you can go fishing with Sankos and worms and stuff like that. Nothing's more fun than watching bass blow up on buzzbait.
I was just gonna say that. Joining us online is Bobby Urich, owner, CEO of Megastrike Fishing, based out of Freehold, a former professional bass competitor. And I love the tagline of the company, when every fish counts. Bob, I want to get to the plastic. So there's some great bass anglers and other fish with swear by, again, this time of year, into the winter, using plastics, using the Sankos, Mega Sticks. I'm a fan of the Mr. Twister Kometa, or Kometa, however you want to pronounce it. But that has a place, does it not, the plastics?
Absolutely. When you go and using plastics, okay, that's a slower, that is a... You're going to be a little bit slower and more methodical when you are throwing plastics. With a buzzbait, I mean, we're just whipping those things. I mean, we're not going to call it an idiot bait. I mean, anybody can catch them. You just whip them out there and reel them in.
He said that for my benefit, people, because he's fished with me.
Well, what I tell people with that buzzbait is, you know, you just throw it out and you reel it in. Anybody from a 6-year-old kid to 85-year-old grandma can go out there and catch bass with a buzzbait. It's very simple to use, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of fun watching those bass blow up on them. But back to the plastics, that is a little bit more slow, subtle, methodical
mm-hmm.
Technique. So what I will do is when we go out and we're using either a spinner bait or a buzz bait, I call that a search bait, where you can throw that bait out there and find the bass. And like I said earlier, once you find the bass, you know, there's usually a bunch of them there because they travel in schools. So what happens is once you find the bass, now you can pick them apart with a slow, methodical bass like a Megabug or a Sanko.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the owner of a fishing tackle company. All right. I will tell you, and I will say it to the world, there is no better bait in the world than catching fish than a Sanko. It will catch bass in every condition. There is 92-degree water, 34-degree water. The Sanko,
wow.
if you If you're out there with, if you want to take your kids fishing and you want them kids to have fun, go out there, go to Dick's Sporting Goods, anywhere, Cabela's, Bass Pro, Tackle Warehouse, get them some Senkos. And let me tell you, if the kids go out there and they're not catching fish, they want that, you know, the attention span of these kids today, just like me, ADD, EFG, I got stuff they didn't even invent yet.
But if, I'm lying.
If you take these kids out fishing, we got to get them away from these violent video games. Mm-hmm. We got to get them away from, you know, all that internet stuff. Get them back out in the woods. Get them back out on the water. But one thing that I learned when I was young with my brother, my dad always had time to take us fishing. If we weren't catching fish, my brother was beating the hell out of me with sticks and rocks and throwing rocks in the water, hitting me with rocks. My father smack him in the head and say, hey, knock it off. You're going to scare the fish. So if you're not, if the kids are out there and they're not catching fish, they're going to be saying, I want to go home. I want to go play with my friends. I want to go on my iPad. Get a bag of Senkos, take those kids fishing, and I promise you, once they start catching fish, they're going to be hooked for life.
Okay, Bobby, we're up against a hard break here. Back to the Mega Strike fishing. You've been around for decades. Again, based here in Freehold. I see you at the shows. Listen, he's at every consumer. I see him at the, you know, the ICAST show, whatever, the trade shows as well. Bobby, one of the things that really sticks out to me in your lineup, and I've used them with success, me. So, hey, Tom P., if it's working for you, it's working. You have a unique spinnerbait, the Strike Back spinnerbait. We only have a couple of minutes, Bobby. Go into the design of that. You come up with that as a patented trademark. What's the dealio?
Yep. So what I did was when we were watching Bass Attack baits, I spent a lot of time, about 22 years underwater, video and filming bass with a gentleman named Tim Simos, who's one of the world's most renowned underwater photographers. When we were watching,
I know him. Holy God.
You know him. Yeah, he's down in Florida now.
I haven't heard that name. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know we're pressed for time. So what we did was we watched these bass start to inhale these baits. And when a bass inhales a bait from side angles about 90% of the time, the bass will suck the whole spinnerbait into its mouth. Okay? If it's not real aggressive or the perception of the fish is off, we'll see him strike either the blade or the side of the bait. We'll feel that bump, and we just go to set the hook, and he's not there. So what happens is with my spinnerbait, I created a jointed, articulating spinnerbait. So the bait itself will stay still. The back end of it is hinged. So what it'll do, it only takes half the energy to suck the hook into the fish's mouth. Everything else stays stationary. So when the bass inhales that bait, it only takes half the energy to suck the hook into the fish's mouth. So now when the fish inhales the bait, he sucks the hook in, everything else stays stationary. So what happens is the angler feels it, sets the hook on it. The number one reason we lose bass on solid body spinner baits is when the fish jumps and flails around. It has all that leverage to throw the hook all the way.
Yeah.
So what happens is with that bait that articulates, which is jointed, that fish can shake as much as he wants. He doesn't have the leverage of the weight of the blade and the front end of the hook to throw that bait. So the hookup ratios increase, the lost fish decrease. It's a really, really unique deal. You know, I work, it's called the Roland Martin Big Bass Spinnerbait. I've been fishing with Roland for 20 years. And let me tell you, you spend one day in the boat with Roland Martin, you'll learn more with Roland one day than you will 2 years on the water by yourself.
One more time with this. He ain't lying. Well, Bobby, listen, we're up against a heartbreak. Bobby Urich, owner, CEO of Mega Strike Fishing, when every fish counts. Bobby, give that website, please. Listen, check out these products at Jersey Born, Jersey Owned, Jersey Productive, man. These things, I catch fish with them. Yo, how's that? Bobby, you should put me in an ad, man.
www.megastrike.com. We're right here in Freehold. Everything is made in the USA. All top quality products, top quality components.
Bobby, take care. Thanks for joining us. Hope to see you on the water one of these days, man. When you, when you, when you, when you, well, listen, showtime for this guy starts when the last show, when the last show ends and you're already on the schedule. Bobby, you take care, man. Best of the family.
You got it. Thank God. Thank God for everything we have.
Be right back, brother. As a be right back. We will be right back. Come on. With UBNJ, Hunter's Helping the Hungry, wrapping up. And we have, where did the time go? Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
News. I'm Deborah Valentine. The Office of Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says one of three drones fired by Hezbollah from Lebanon struck the prime minister's property. Fox's Jackie Abanez.
According to the spokesperson, Netanyahu and his wife were not in the home at the time of the attack and that there were no casualties.
The drone attack follows Israel's killing of top Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar in Gaza, following which Hezbollah vowed to escalate the conflict between Israel and Hamas. Two of the drones intercepted. Following Sinwar's killing, Fox's Greg Palcott says Hamas stipulated the following regarding a potential ceasefire with Israel.
There will be no hostage return until Israel withdraws from Gaza. Ally Hezbollah in southern Lebanon and string puller Iran agreed.
Israel's prime minister says fighting will not stop until all the hostages taken October 7th are released. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Atlantic City Electric AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. We have a coastal flood advisory in effect from 8 a.m. this morning until 2 p.m. this afternoon. For today, pleasant with plenty of sunshine in the area. Great weather for viewing the fall foliage with a high of 74. Tonight, clear, low 40. Tomorrow, very warm with plenty of sunshine in the area with a high of 78. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 40. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 19th and 20th. Whew, this 10th month is really flying. Hey, you're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM, South Jersey's number one rated talk show station, home to the great Harry Hurley right down the hall, and also WPG 1450 AM, streaming live in that slot, WPG1450.com, and from 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked in at 50,000 mega far-reaching watts, as they always say on the Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live, 97.3 ESPN.com. Get to the Rack and Fin Radio podcast via the WPG Talk Radio app or YouTube or Apple or Spotify or other avenues. Like I said earlier in the show, the Bear Hunt Segment A wraps up today. A good number of Bruins caught, as I said to Dave Golden in the interview last week, the week before, whatever. You really want to up that bear harvest number from this corner and also from a bunch of people I talked to. Give it, and it has to go through the council, I get it. Give it another give another week in the fall. Have the December see, but the vagaries of the weather in December can really curtail a harvest, as we saw that happen a few days last December. But, hey, good luck out there to the women hunting and the women's mentored hunt by Division of Fish and Wildlife's R3. UBNJ and the Garden State Archers and Hunters Helping the Hungry. Great program. I've received very late notice on this, but it's very important to get it on the air. They're having an event that's, I think it's going to run through Monday. Joining us online right now is John Big Bruin Erndl, president of United Bow Hunters of New Jersey. We're going to talk about the event, what's going on. It's a chance to donate venison to the Hunters Helping the Hungry program. John, I have short notice. Thanks for coming on the line right now. Congratulations, by the way, on that Bruin, my brother, with the bow. Good for you.
Thanks, Tom. How you doing today?
Lock, cocked, and ready to rock. John, let's get into this. We don't have much time. As you know, this program sounds great. It's with the Garden State Archers up there, 110 Larison Road in Wrightstown, and the Hunters Helping the Hungry, UBNJ. Go into it, and hopefully it'll extend beyond Monday. Go, bro.
Hey, Tom. Well, today is our women's mentoring hunt. We're taking some ladies who are brand new to the sport out for a doing some seminars during the day to get them going in archery hunting, and then taking them out for a hunt at the end of the day. And then when they come back in, we're going to have a feast of wild game for them to try. But we also are hosting the trailer today, tomorrow, Monday, and possibly Tuesday. Watch our Facebook page. We'll definitely put the final day on. But it's a great program. It, you know, feeds people that, yep. that need it. And with this colder weather coming, they're really going to need it. Anybody who brings a deer by to donate will get a free UBNJ membership. And, you know, it's just a super program. And I encourage the, anybody, the trailers hosted throughout the state, different right. places. I know Middlesex County Parks is going to host it. You know, if you have extra deer, if you, you know, if you hunt a farm and the farmer wants the deer shot,
yep.
shoot a couple extra deer and donate it. It's, it goes to a very worthy program.
John, in my travels, I happened to run into some just this past week, and I was up North Jersey running around checking some bear spots, whatever. Billy, John, I couldn't, I was, I tell you, I was all over areas one and two. I couldn't see a bruin anywhere. So believe it or not, so four different turkeys in four different parts of the two counties up there, two zones rather. But stopped in the shop, a guy was getting his license, he's checking out some zones, he's looking, he hadn't had his bow license in years. And not really up to it, more into the saltwater fishing, I guess. He said, wait a sec. He was reading the diet, he says, unlimited antlerless? You mean I can kill as many deer as I want? What would you do with all those deer? And I gave him a short pitch, gave him the website of the Hunters Helping the Hungry program. He says, that's not a bad blank idea. So it's helping people. You're giving back to the community, and you're also helping the farmer, you know, the landowners, and it's a win-win all around.
It is. You know, you have to manage the herd for health, and having, you know, some areas in Somerset County, there's almost 200 deer per square mile. That's
it's,
not healthy.
It's sick. At Bridgewater, I was just up there, Bridgewater, Neshannock, that whole area in there. It's nuts. North Branch. It's crazy. You cannot not almost avoid hit or avoid hitting a deer.
No, and there's so many farmers, you know, they grow crops to earn a living. And when the deer eat them out of house and home, and they don't get the yield that they're expecting because of the crop damage, mm-hmm. you know, they lose their shirts. And that's why you see more and more farms being sold for developments.
And the John, and, development's
know,
relentless.
See that.
It development is relentless. But on the flip side, John, and I know liability and all that, but the recalcitrance of the farmers to allow hunters on their property, that's the other, that's the other side of the coin. Well, you complain about this. Well, then you get the thing. They only want to shoot bucks. Well, no, if they're going to hunt, you give them permission to hunt, and they pay you to hunt, does only. I know there's, me included, loads of people who jump at that opportunity to hunt private land.
Oh, there's a lot of people. And you know what? The farmer, you know, and that's what they've gotten a bad taste in their mouth because the guy says, I'll shoot all the does you want me to shoot. And then the minute they get a big buck on camera, they stop shooting does
exactly.
and they only want to
yep.
hunt that, you know. But you're right. There are hunters that just shoot deer to fill their freezer, to feed themselves, their family, give it to their friends that will shoot does only on farms. And you know, and that's where we have to bridge the gap and find the farmers that are willing to take the hunters that are willing to shoot just does.
And another thing, too, John, you get these big clubs with mega dollars that they give the landowners or the farmers, whatever. So that's a whole other morass. But, John, how are things going with the UBNJ? Had a chance meeting with a state senator this past weekend, briefly, about 15 minutes, our paths crossed. And, man, these antis are really working furiously behind the scenes every which way to eventually end baiting naturally and then end hunting as we know it in New Jersey. You must be seeing that as well.
Yeah, they feel emboldened now, and, you know, they're coming at it from all fronts.
Yep.
You know, like we've discussed before, they can't come out and just ban hunting or try to ban hunting, so they chip away. You know, they're trying to repeal the 150 rule.
Yep.
For archery, which will close down so much land. They want to ban animal contests in affiliation with hunting. You know, they want to just chip away at every little thing until there's nothing left.
John,
we're just going to keep fighting them.
They live by the theory, you know, death by a thousand cuts is still death.
Exactly. And you know what it is? We're finding uneducated and I don't mean in the sense of scholastically, but assembly and senators that don't know the outdoor culture, mm-hmm. and they feed them lies, and they get them to sponsor these bills mm-hmm. when they really don't know what they're sponsoring. And a couple of these legislators that have been brought up to speed on what the outdoor lifestyle is really like have actually taken their names off the bills once they found out what it's really about.
This is good too.
And that's what we have to do.
And John, I know the legislative, well, again, you know the deal. When you get elected, that's what's going to happen. So don't tell me, oh, we're so busy. We're so busy. A lot of time they leave, I'd say 90% of the time, if that's a conservative estimate, they leave it to their aides, you know, the assistants. Tell me what you think of this. Review it, whatever. Talk to whoever and tell me which way to go. Honest to God, John, exactly. That's a proven fact. And I'll tell you, I looked at some Republicans, listeners, primarily I'd say 98, 99% Democrats that are in this anti-hunting movement, but even some Republicans now are getting on board, which I found really distressing.
It is. It's on both sides of the aisle. And you know what? We have allies on both sides of the aisle. We have a great assemblyman out of Somerset County that's pushed a lot of pro-hunting legislation and stuff. And, you know, it's all about bringing them up to speed with the outdoor mm-hmm. culture, that it's good, especially getting the youth involved. I mean, 2 weeks ago we had our youth archery mentor hunt.
That
we
was
had
great.
10 kids.
Yeah.
We had 10 kids out. Six of them got deer. You know, I had the pleasure of mentoring a great young kid named Dylan. And he's a hunter for life now.
You got it, yeah.
You know, and that's what we have to do.
Okay, Joey's on the Rack and Fin line this morning. Is John Arnold, president of United Bowhunters of New Jersey, an event that's going to run through Monday. God spares, hopefully Tuesday. It's going to be at the Garden State Archers, 110 Larison Road in Wrightstown, in conjunction with Hunters Helping the Hungry, UBNJ, R3, whatever. You have a couple extra deer, you know, in those zones where you can shoot two a day, two at a time, whatever. Donate. They have the trailer. John, one more time with the specifics, please.
The trailer is going to be open at the archery club. The gate will be open. If you have a deer, it's self-explanatory. You come in, you open the trailer up, you fill out the tag, you put the deer in the trailer, and you know, we'll take the name and address off of the tag for the deer, and you will get a free UBNJ membership, or you'll get a 1-year renewal for donating, because we really appreciate it and we feel it's for a good cause.
Okay, a little long on that segment. Yeah, great cause. Hunters Helping the Hungry. Bring the deer, man. You have them, just do it. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And that is over this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Remember, today is free fishing day in fresh water. Don't need a license. Don't need a trout stamp. All those trout stocked in the South Jersey waters. Get out there. Experience it. I'm telling you, try it. These are 2-year-olds up to some breeders, 4, 5, 6 pounds, free, or bass, or catfish. Just Jersey has some great, great freshwater fishing, especially here in the South, Central, North. Whatever. Just go enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. And don't forget, get your fall turkey permit. This may be the last time for a while. See you next week.